Praise the Lord. This is Brother Amen Dave talking, and we're going to be reading out of the book of Psalms, the second chapter, the second psalm, that is, the first verse. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, they don't want to really serve the Lord. The rulers of this world and the people, the heathen, rage, and they don't want to serve God. And in 2:4 here it says that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, and he shall speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, that's the heathen, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his anger is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Of course, the Old Testament and the New Testament are all Middle Eastern books, and the idea of kissing the Son would be to kiss the King's Son. And we understand the King's Son here to be the Anointed One here, the Anointed One, or called the Messiah, or also called in the Greek the Christ. And we need to kiss the Lord Jesus. And how can we go about doing this? He's in heaven, we're down here. How can we possibly do that? We're going to be reading in the book of St. Matthew, the 12th chapter and verse 46. We'll begin there. And it's talking about Jesus. He was in a house speaking in someone's home. And while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one of them said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And of course, we know that family members kiss one another, so that's no strange thing here. You can be part of the family of God. The Lord is saying you can be his brother and his sister, even his mother, praise the Lord, by doing the will of God. He says, behold, my mother and my brethren. He said, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. And the Lord would have us to all be saved. He needs us to be born again. He wants us to be born again. If we ever want to see heaven, he is the door. He is the way. We have to go through him. We have to kiss the Son, you know, lest he be angry. If we wait till the end of our life or wait until we die, that's too late. That's way too late. You've got to make things sure now. And here's a sample of a woman who found grace in the eyes of the Lord in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36. We'll begin reading about the Lord again. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with them, that's Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. It was very precious, by the way, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And I might add that in the Middle East at this time, perhaps even some today, the method of eating was the Roman style. They had a table set up, and they had couches with an open back in the couch. It had a armrest on both sides. It was quite long. You could put maybe three or four people on a couch. And you would get on this couch, and you would lean perhaps with your left arm on one side, and you would have your right arm free to eat. And you would get on this couch and fold your feet up, and your feet would be sticking out behind. So when this woman come in, the feet of Jesus would be the first thing that she would see from behind him. It said, and she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. You know, you see a lot of European paintings, and they'll show Jesus sitting in a modern chair. That's not the way it was. He was on a couch, actually, and his feet would have been folded, and his feet sticking out behind him. And she did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. He said, There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both that debt. In other words, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, which is another Middle Eastern custom of foot washing. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto her, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. That's what the Lord said to the woman, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgives sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. And we're going to go from here, talking about kissing the Lord, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Kiss the Son, it says, and that would be the King's Son. You have to make up with the King. There's another place in the Bible. It says, If the Son shall set you free, you'll be free indeed. And we need that freedom from the Lord. And this is Psalms 85 and 1. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Shew us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. No, don't go back in sin. Don't turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. That glory may dwell in our land. And that applies to any land where they receive the Lord. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. That glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Here in verse 80, Psalms 85:10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. You know, when the Lord was born, we celebrated at Christmas time, and the angels came and told the shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that there was peace, that he would bring peace, that the Lord would bring peace. That's not the kind of peace that we desire today, of no warfare going on, but it's the kind of peace between God and man. In our verse here, it says, mercy and truth are met together. You know, the truth is we have all sinned, and there's none good, there's none righteous on this earth. That's the truth. But God's mercy reaches out. And it says here that righteousness and peace have kissed. You know, the righteousness of God, we can't attain to that except through the Lord himself. He is the Lord, our righteousness, we call him, because we can't do those things contained in the law. We can't be perfect, but through him, through being born again, you can't do it in the flesh. You have to be in the Spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit of God, and you must be born again, as Jesus said. It says, righteousness and peace have kissed. In other words, the righteousness of God is reaching out to man and bringing peace. There's a kiss They're kissing each other. Where before they were enemies, they were bitter enemies, and man runs from God, and man, he, in our first verses we read, he wants to throw off the bands and cut the cords away from God and don't want to serve him. But this here, it's telling us that righteousness and peace have kissed. There's a way of coming to the Lord at his cross. You go to Calvary and you see the Lord giving his life for your sins, and you say, Lord, save me. Be like that thief on the cross. There was one of the thieves that turned to him and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, because that man was perishing too. He was giving his life, and he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that's when righteousness and peace have kissed. That man was a thief on the cross, and no doubt he'd done other things too, but the Lord forgave him, like he forgave the woman who was crying and wiping his feet with her hair. He forgave them because they came to him in truth. They came and desired that. It says in 85:11 here, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Praise God. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. Amen. We have that which is good. The gospel is called the good news. That is the good news, that there's salvation provided. It's a free gift. The wages of sin which we have earned is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus. And our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. He'll guide us in the right paths. He'll guide us in his steps if we come to him with an honest heart and ask for mercy. It says mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. We must have that. There's a meeting. There's a meeting of the two, and it meets in a kiss. You know, we can have those things. In other words, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Come to him. Another place the Lord says, agree with thine adversary. And normally we think of our adversary as being the devil, but not in that case. He said, if you're not a Christian, then he is your adversary. The Lord is your adversary if you have not yet kissed him, if you have not yet come to him. He said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. He would never tell you to agree with the devil. The devil is a liar and the father of it. He would never tell you to do that. But he's saying agree with the word of God, because Jesus is the word. He said the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John wrote that in his gospel. And Jesus is that word of God. And we must agree with him. We must come to him and accept that word that he brought us from the Father. He is the word. He is the way to heaven. He is the truth and the life. And it says, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give us that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and he shall set us in the way of his steps. Praise the Lord.